I invite you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. It's on page 811. As you're turning there, I'd like to thank Lydia and Catherine for that great offertory. Thank our worship team as well. We were scrambling a little bit this morning, but they appreciate their flexibility and their diligent labors. We're continuing our study. This is the second in a sermon series on the Lord's Prayer. But let me begin reading with Matthew 6, verse 5, and reading through the 15th verse. And even before I begin reading, lest you despair, desire prayer is still to be done in a timely fashion. I'm not used to preaching 15-minute sermons, but I will labor to do that for God's glory and for your good as well. But hear God's word, Matthew 6, beginning with verse 5. This is the word of God. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases, as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray, then, like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Amen to this reading of God's holy word. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand through the ages. Let's pray. Our Lord and our God, we thank you for the privilege of prayer. Thank you for the power of prayer. Thank you that we can come into your presence in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our great high priest. Thank you that we can come before you as sinners, Lord, repentant sinners. Thank you that we can rest on Christ and Christ alone for our salvation. Lord God, we pray that you would give us teachable minds and hearts today as your Holy Spirit is at work. Lord, show us, guide us, as we seek to understand what it means to be a church, a people marked by prayer. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. You know, one of the best ways to teach children a new skill is by practicing that skill in their presence. I learned to shave at an early age. I didn't need to shave, but at least at four. But I would go into the bathroom when my father was shaving in the morning, you know, old shaving cream, brush, and safety razor, and watched him shave. And then after a while, he let me shave without the razor inside and learned to shave. As I watch my father shave, think of how children learn to bake and to cook. They go into the kitchen, they join their mothers, they watch them as they mix the dough and make the bread and the cookies and cakes and whatever, and before long they're able to cook on their own. Today, I'm amazed by young children, I mean real young children, who know how to use elaborate mobile devices, you know, cell phones, iPads, you put it in front of them and they're swiping and punching and know how to do all the games and change all your contact information in a heartbeat. You know, but they learn, we learn by imitation. That, you know, the verse I first want us to focus on there is Matthew 6, verse 9. Jesus says, pray then like this. This is how you ought to pray. And here Jesus gives us a model prayer, a pattern for prayer. I don't think of the Lord's Prayer so much as a rote prayer. You know, last week I encouraged the children to memorize the Lord's Prayer if they didn't know it already. But this is not the only prayer we can pray as Christians. It is one way to pray, and more importantly, it's a pattern for prayer, as we'll see. It begins with praise, that preface, our Father in heaven. And then you'll see there are six petitions, first centering on the glory of God, the first three, and then the gracious requests of the followers of Christ. And then it closes again on that note of praise. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. So there's a pattern there for you and for me as we pray. You know, we can come to God, our Father, because of Christ, the Son of God. We can bring our petitions before him. God is delighted, honored, glorified as we bring our petitions before him. But we always ought to be praising God. And here Jesus provides believers with a scriptural pattern for approaching God in prayer. If you're needing new vigor in your prayer life, or maybe if you're not used to praying, maybe if you've never prayed to God in your own words, you know, here God's word gives us instruction about prayer. Just basic, understandable, biblical information. And we approach God in prayer first through a reformation in our prayer life, and then recognizing that there's a relationship, and finally the reign of our God, R-E-I-G-N, and going through this in a hopefully a swift but clear fashion. You know, prayer begins with, we learn to pray by reforming our prayer life. There in verses 5 through 8, we looked at the first part of this last week. Jesus begins teaching his followers, teaching us about prayer, you know, by saying, don't pray like this. You know, don't be like the hypocrites, those who pretend that they're spiritual, sound spiritual, look spiritual, but they're not loving the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, how do they pray? They love to pray where everyone can see them, everyone can hear them. And Jesus teaches us, shun hypocrisy. You know, when you pray, get alone with God. Get in that place where it's just, at first, you and God, the two of you. You can pray out loud if you want. You won't be disturbed. You know, go into your prayer closet there, that private place, and pray to your Father who is in secret. You can't see God, but God always sees you. He always hears your prayer, and your Father who is in secret will reward you. He'll strengthen your walk of faith, draw you into closer fellowship with him. So it begins there by a reformation. You know, and for those of you who have been Christians for a while, this is like a breath of fresh air. It was for me, still is for me. You know, we are to resist repetitious prayer, verse 7. You know, don't let your prayer sound like a broken record. Don't think God will hear your prayers if you pray for a long time. You know, keep your prayers focused on Christ and to the point. And always as we pray, the thing that helps us, encourages us as we pray as God is reforming our prayer life there in verse 8, for your Father knows what you need before you ask them. You know, if you're one who underlines your Bible, underline that. You know, as we pray, you know, God already knows what we're going to ask. So why would we still pray? You know, because God is honored, God is glorified, our faith is strengthened as we pray. He knows our needs, he knows the necessities of life, praise God. Even before we ask him, because he loves us in Christ. So prayer reformation begins when we begin to recognize that we have a relationship with God our Father through faith in Christ. You know, but the second part there of Matthew 6, verse 9, Jesus teaches us that we have a relationship with God, a scriptural relationship. We're approaching God our Father in prayer. There in your bulletin, I put as you know, we include a question and answer from our Westminster Shorter Catechism. It's a helpful summary of what the Bible teaches us about some critical areas of our walk of faith with Christ, about salvation, who God is, the work of salvation, Ten Commandments, the Lord's Prayer, Lord's Supper. But there's this question about prayer, almost at the end of the Shorter Catechism. What doth the preface of the Lord's Prayer teach us? That's what we're looking at. The preface of the Lord's Prayer, which is, Our Father which art in heaven, teaches us to draw near to God with all holy reverence and confidence as children to a Father, able and ready to help us, and that we should pray with and for others. You see that throughout Scripture. You know, you go through the Old Testament. If we had time, I'd read a few verses to you. I'll just read one, Isaiah chapter 63, verse 16. This is Isaiah's prayer. He says, For you are our Father. Though Abraham does not know us and Israel does not acknowledge us, you, O Lord, are our Father, our Redeemer from of old is your name. That's Isaiah chapter 63, verse 16. You know, here Old Testament scripture gives us a glimpse that God is our Father. And in the Old Testament, it was largely the father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the father of Israel as a nation. But now in the New Testament, Jesus becomes even more specific. We've seen that in Matthew 6. You know, there, verse 6 of Matthew 6, but when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father. And then again, the last part, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Verse 8, do not be like them, for your Father knows. You know, we're praying to God our Father. There's a relationship there, a God who can be known, a God who reveals himself to us. Won't take the time to read it, but you know, consider the parable of the prodigal son there in Luke chapter 15. You know, that son who asks for the inheritance, the father gives him the inheritance, and what does the son do? He runs off, goes to a foreign land, he squanders his wealth, ends up with the pigs. Holy Spirit works in his heart, convicts him of sin, he repents. He comes back home, and what does his father do? You know, that really is the focus. He's the main character, actually. You know, the father runs to his son. He embraces his son. He forgives his sons. They celebrate. They rejoice together. That's the picture of God our Father that we are to have in our mind and our heart, even as we pray. Jesus teaches us to pray, Our Father. You know, this really is a prayer for believers. Some call this the disciples' prayer rather than the Lord's prayer. John 17 is more Jesus praying. to the Heavenly Father. But Jesus is our elder brother, and so here he is teaching us about prayer. You know, there may be some who struggle with that idea of praying to God our Father. You may have been raised in a home, an orphan. Maybe you were adopted, don't know your father. You know, there are some I know who had alcoholic, abusive, absentee fathers, and you say, man, how can you, preacher, how can you expect me to pray to God our Father? I just have such a terrible view of my father. And what Scripture really is teaching us here, there is a perfect Heavenly Father. There is a loving Heavenly Father who loves us in Christ, who has chosen us from all eternity, who has brought us to saving faith in Christ. You know, one book about prayer, been reading a few books on the Lord's Prayer, but there's a book, the title is great in itself, by J.I. Packer. The title is Praying, Finding Our Way Through Duty to Delight. And he writes this: God is paternal. God is our Father. In his perfection, God behaves towards others, towards those who are his, in a fatherly way that as such is flawless. That biblical idea of fatherhood blends authority, fidelity, affection, care, discipline, long-suffering, and protection in a course of sustained love that aims always at the children's advance into strength, wisdom, and maturity. You know, that's why we call God our Father, knowing that he not only loves us, but he does have that gracious, glorious plan for our life, so that we would advance in strength, maturity, wisdom. And, you know, and there's a glorious hope there. You know, and just where the rubber meets the road here, you know, these are, I'll call them theological truths, but really they're practical truths about calling God our Father. You know, first we have access to God. You know, we can come to God always in prayer. His ear is always turned to hear our prayers. His eye is always upon us. Secondly, it speaks of adoption. You know, that when we come to saving faith in Christ, we are adopted into God's family. We will always be his sons and daughters. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ. Galatians chapter 4, verse 6 puts it this way: and because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. You know, we're God's children. We're part of his family of faith. And so there ought to be a glorious assurance as we pray. We can approach God's throne of grace with confidence because of Christ. You know, we need no mediator other than the Lord Jesus Christ as we pray. We have direct access to God, our Father, because of his love for us in Christ his Son, and by the power of his indwelling Holy Spirit. So there's a reformation, there's a relationship, but just the last thought, that phrase, our Father in heaven. Why would Jesus include that? You know, because it reminds us of the power, the authority, the might, the majesty of God. Yes, he is our Father. We can cry out, Abba, Father, knowing that intimate relationship, but he is a mighty God who hears and answers prayer. And we have that certain hope of heaven as well, that we pray knowing our Father is in heaven, but with that sure hope in our hearts because of what Christ has done for us, that we have that that gracious hope that one day we will be with our Father and with Christ the Son, worshiping and praising him. You know, one of the hardest parts of prayer is knowing where to start. You know, maybe you're there now, maybe you've been there, you think, okay, 2015, I'm going to intensify my prayer life, be more faithful. You know, but then where to start? And here Scripture teaches us it, there is no better place to start than in acknowledging and adoring God that he is our Father in heaven. Jesus gives us a pattern for prayer, a starting point for prayer. And so let us draw near to God our Father who loves us and Christ his Son. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the privilege, the power of prayer. Thank you for this pattern of prayer you've given to us in the Lord's Prayer. And Lord, pray this week. I pray it for my own heart. Pray it for this, your church. You know, Lord, pray that we would have a growing understanding of what it means to come close to you, God our Father, in prayer. May we come with confidence. May we come with assurance. And Lord God, may we be used of you to boldly pray for your kingdom work in our own hearts, in our own homes, in this your church, in a hurting, lost world around us. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.